Injured in a car accident? We cap attorney's fees at 30% of the first million. Any recovery above that is all yours. No recovery, no fees or costs. If another lawyer wants more, Lawyer Up 904. For accidents, injuries, and more, Lawyer Up 904. Jacksonville.
The Friday night lights have been shining all over the First Coast. This is the Southeast Orthopedic Specialist Friday Night Lights.
Friday Night Lights.
Brought to you by Duck Duck Rooter Plumbing and Septic Services. Now it's time to break it all down. Here are your hosts, Hacker and Andrew Gibson.
And a very good Friday evening to you, Jacksonville. It is the Southeast Orthopedic Specialist Friday Night Lights postgame. We are presented by Duck Duck Plumbing and Septic Services. Round two of the high school football playoffs with Andrew Gibson, the Hacker, Ryan Green with you. What a night it has been. This is what we have that has gone final to this point, like you just heard right here on 92.5 FM. Congratulations to the Bulls Bulldogs as they advance to the regional final. A huge win for Bulls tonight over Bishop Moore. Matthew Tobin and the Bulldogs move on. They will play the Reigns Vikings next week as Reigns advances with an 18-0 win tonight over Riverside in a gargantuan battle in St. John's County. The Bartram Trail Bears get it done over Creekside for the second time this year. Darrell Sutherland and Bartram Trail go to 12-0 on the year with a 42-15 win over Creekside. University Christian has just won. They advance 42-13 over First Academy. And the game of the night to this point, Gibby, Baker County, a 31-29 win over Baldwin. Baker County advances in what was the game of the night to this point.
Yeah, and it was another rematch from the regular season. We remember that Baldwin won in some long time. It's been decades since Baldwin had beaten Baker County, and Baker County returns the favor tonight, getting it done by 2 points at the very end.
We talk to victorious head coaches under the Friday Night Lights. It's what we do, and it's what we've done for the last 16 years. Let's kick it off tonight, round two of the state playoffs, by going to the graveyard. Head coach Donovan Maslin and Reigns, a winner tonight over Riverside. Reigns advances to the regional final, and Coach Maslin's with us under the Friday Night Lights. Coach, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. As always, you know, my motto is anytime I get that phone call from you guys, you know, we're doing something good.
Coach, your defense did something good tonight. A shutout performance and a win over Riverside. You beat Ed White last week. You beat Riverside tonight. What went so well for your defense this evening?
They was locked in. You know, they were dialed in on the game plan. We knew they wanted to go some empty and run the quarterback on some pin and pull type action. So we wanted to overwhelm their O-line with some pressure. And, you know, they were going five wide all night. So, you know, we wanted to field the quarterback and get the ball out of his hands quick. And, you know, we was able to get a couple sacks. And well, not a couple, but Jamari Whitehead, you know, he took over in the second half with, you know, I think about four sacks on the night. Probably more once we watched the film. But, you know, overall, they locked in, dialed in, they trusted one another, and was able to come out and put on a great performance.
Coach, congratulations on this playoff win. For those of us that were not at the graveyard, take us there. What was it like tonight there?
It was a great atmosphere. You know, anytime Reigns is playing in the playoffs, you know, the fans are going to come out, alumni are going to come out, and support, you know, support the kids, support the brand. So the atmosphere was set, you know, Riverside, General, safe sales. Fans and alumni came out. It was a great atmosphere on both sides, and you know, it was great. You know, great offensive and defensive effort by both parts. You know, Riverside came out hard. You know, they fought. We knew it wasn't going to be as easy, you know, as the first game, but we made sure that we were dialed in and trusted one another, and the kids came out and executed the plan.
Coach, last week you won a game with offense, right, against Ed White. Tonight you win a game with defense against Riverside. That must give you a lot of confidence going into what you're going into next week on San Jose Boulevard.
Definitely. You know, complimentary football. We know every game is not going to be the same. One game you need offense to step up. One game you need defense to step up. And then also special teams. So tonight, man, you know, this offense was able to punch the ball in on some, you know, once we got inside the 30. You know, we could have punched in, you know, more, but, you know, on some unforeseen, you know, errors that we got to correct moving forward. But overall, man, I'm just, you know, proud of the team and how they, you know, band together after we lost to Jackson. And, you know, the coaching staff coming together and keeping the kids' mental uplifted. And they just buying in and trusting one another. The coaches trusting one another, trusting the players. And, you know, in the playoffs, we always talk about, man, you know, scheme go out the window. And it's all about those kids going out there executing.
Final moments here with Donovan Maslin of Reigns, Daryl Sutherland of Bartram, David Penland of University Christian right around the corner as well. All right, there was a time here on the First Coast when Reigns and Bowles, that was a rite of passage twice a year in the regular season and in the playoffs. I know you were on the staff there with Duran Wiley during some of those unbelievable games in both the regular season and the postseason. It's you and Bowles again next week in a regional final for the right to go to the Final Four. What are your early thoughts on that matchup?
We clean up the mistakes that we made tonight, and we make sure that Reigns is good. We make sure that we put together a good plan to go into you know, the third round. You know, the second round has been our nemesis for the past 3 years, so it's good to get that off our back. And we just go in there, man, just execute our game plan. The kids are going to be excited. You know, to go play those guys, and it's going to be a great atmosphere over there. You know, we definitely got to go play distance football and execute at high level. So, you know, we're excited for the opportunity to go over there and play. It's been a minute since we played Bowles, but we're excited and we're ready for the task.
Donovan Maslin of Reigns, winners tonight over Riverside. They advance to the regional final next week against Bowles, a game you'll hear on 1010XL. Coach, congratulations on a big win.
Thank you. Thank you. Y'all be safe.
Gibby, before we get to Daryl Sutherland and David Penland, early thought from you on Reigns and Bowles next week.
I can't wait. I mean, you know, it's interesting. I think last week you asked me the question, with Bishop Kenny still left and with some of these other schools left, who would I take out of, like, the four or five teams? And I said Reigns, because Reigns, it just felt like they were, you know, peaking at the right time. You know, he mentioned the loss that they had against Jackson a couple of weeks ago. They have not lost since they lost to Jackson, 3 wins in a row. So I think Reigns is on a pretty good roll right now.
Let's go to St. John's County. Daryl Sutherland of Bartram Trail. They are now 12-0 on the year as they take care of Creekside tonight. They are now the last team standing in St. John's County here in the 2022 high school football season. Coach, congratulations.
Thank you.
Coach, obviously, I mean, my goodness, the win in the regular season, the rematch tonight, another dominating performance. You're now 12-0 on the year. What can you say about this football team? It's clearly, to me, a team that you have in your tenure there. It's got to be considered now among one of the better ones.
Well, I'm really proud of the way these guys stay focused on the things that we're asking them to stay focused on. You know, it's easy as adults to say, you know, play one play at a time and, you know, just focus on our attitude and our effort and the controllables and all those things. But it's a whole different thing to be a young man out there in the heat of the game to be able to do what they did tonight, which was, you know, stay focused, keep trusting each other. Everybody just keep doing their jobs and keep believing that if we just keep doing that, that the rest will take care of itself. And I'm really proud of them for doing that.
Coach, congratulations on the win tonight. I would imagine that tonight's game was an all-time atmosphere in St. John's County. What was it like there tonight?
Well, it is a great Friday night atmosphere. You know, I think it's something that everybody should come out and see. And our administration, you know, the cheerleaders, the dance team, our band is incredible. Our drumline leads us out every Friday night. It's an awesome experience.
Daryl Sutherland of Bartram Trail. Coach, that is a really, really good Creekside football team, a Creekside football team that won 9 games this year. And yet the 2 games they played against you, they just didn't have any answers. I mean, can you explain why that's such a good matchup for you guys against such a good team in Creekside?
Well, they are a great football team, and they're very well coached. They're very similar to us as far as, you know, guys that are just gritty and get after it play after play. And we knew it was going to be it was going to come down to the last minute. It was going to come down to, you know, the team that could make the fewest mistakes and all those things that are kind of those football, you know, probably adages. But they're a great football team. And so, you know, we love getting to compete against great teams, and they're certainly one of those.
Coach, tell me about Lathan Biddle. I mean, he's got over 20 touchdowns this year. What has he meant to your team, and what kind of game does he have?
Well, one of my favorite things about him is that he's a guy that will deflect praise to his teammates. If you ask him what the secret of his success, he'll point to his linemen, he'll point to his tight ends and receivers blocking downfield and the quarterback carrying out fakes. And he's genuine. He really means that. The other thing that I love about him is he's a guy that refuses to go down. So he's just going to keep fighting for extra yardage. And that's one of those things that inspires the linemen to, you know, go get that next block, the guys to go get down in front of him and go get another block push the pile. And he's somebody that, just because of his tenacity, he inspires his teammates to play at that same level.
Bartram Trail, a winner tonight over Creekside. Coach, last time I checked, Buchholz was winning. Do you know if that game has gone final yet?
I do not.
If it is Buchholz, that would be another rematch for you guys next week. I would think there'd have to be something good about that, though. If it is Buchholz, there's some familiarity there. You know them. They know you is the flip side of that. But there would, the familiarity, I think, would outweigh the fact that they're familiar with you as well.
Well, one thing's for sure, it tells you our district is pretty good.
Yeah. There's no doubt about that with Bartram getting in, Creekside getting in, and Buchholz getting in. Coach, final question. You're 12-0. Obviously, the goal for every high school football team is to practice on Thanksgiving. You guys have now accomplished that. What does that mean in the high school community to be able to have that Thanksgiving practice?
Well, you know, it's huge for the guys just to be able to have that experience. You know, I've told you my prayer every week is, you know, Lord, please give me more time with these guys. I'm not ready for it to be over. And I'm just so thankful that we get Thanksgiving together and that we're going to have that opportunity. It's such a fun thing. It creates such fun memories. And so I'm so glad our guys are getting to experience it.
Well, Coach, congratulations. What a win for Bartram Trail tonight as they eliminate Creekside and Bartram, the last team standing in St. Johns County. Congratulations, Coach.
Thank you, guys. Have a great Thanksgiving. God bless.
60 seconds before David Penland. Boy, every week, Gibby, we're on here talking about Bartram, and every week they seem to impress more and more.
You know, every time I see a Bartram score, I just shake my head because, in just awe, because, I mean, these guys, every single week, it seems like they dominate every single week. You know, last week they went down 14 points. What did they do? They ended up scoring 50 in the ball game, 50-20 against Flagler Palm Coast last Friday. And then tonight, you just look at what they were able to do. I asked him about Lathan Biddle, his running back. This guy's got over 25 touchdowns, 120 yards rushing per game, and he's just one of many really good football players at Bartram.
David Penland, University Christian, they are winners tonight off a bye week last week. They got their postseason underway, and it begins with a big victory. He joins us here under the Friday Night Lights. Coach, congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Coach, obviously, you guys had a bye week to kind of rest up in your classification. You come out tonight honoring your former running back. I saw the tweets and the social media posts earlier. That was a great thing you guys did there. So, obviously, an emotional night. And to come out and put forth that effort and get a victory like that, great night all around for University Christian.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a good begin, you know, to honor Otis. You know, we miss him. It's almost still like a dream. And it was a little emotional and got choked up a little bit, but we needed to do it, and the night was the night that we chose to do it. It was awesome. We'll continue to wear the sticker on our helmets from here on out. But our guys played well tonight. Came out and got done what we needed to do to get to round two.
Coach, the score tonight, 42-13, I believe, is what we have. Tell us about this performance for your guys. 42 points, good stuff for you.
Yeah, it was kind of slow in the first half. We went up 15-0, and then they scored. We turned the ball over a couple times, and then they scored with about 7 seconds left. They kicked it deep to O'Rell Green, and he took it to the house. And that came back out in the second half, got the ball in the second half, and marched down the field and scored again and kind of broke the game open at that point.
Now, a win tonight for you guys. Trinity, we believe, is holding on. They're up 10. That's the last score we had in the fourth quarter. That means the rematch next week, correct?
Yes, sir, it does.
And look, when you play them in the regular season, you lost 20-13, a very hard-fought game. I imagine your message to your guys, and tell me if I'm wrong, is in the post-game locker room, your goal was to get another shot at Trinity. And it appears you're going to have that next week. So I mean, look, what do you take away from that first game that you can use next Friday night?
I just got to come over and minimize the big plays. You know, we kind of gave up a couple big plays that ended up hurting us. And I think if we come out and do that, I didn't really have to explain the rematch part very much because our guys are they want to play. They wanted to play Trinity. I kind of, you know, said, well, if OCP upsets Trinity, they're like, we don't want them upset. We want to play them. So they're ready. They want this game. And hopefully come out and we have a good week of practice. And then it should be a really good football game the day after Thanksgiving.
Coach, when are teams going to learn not to kick the ball to Oral Gray? Because I cannot believe coaches still do that.
When they scored, I said, we're about to run this kickoff back. They were kind of pooching it, and I kind of moved everybody up, and I called our return, and I said, if they kick it halfway deep, if he catches it in the air, he's gone. And they did it. There he went. And I don't know why they keep doing it, but, hey, let them keep doing it.
You'll take it.
Yeah, final question.
I'll take it every time.
Final moments here with David Penwin, University Christian. All right, Coach, I asked Daryl Sutherland the same thing, the whole – concept of practicing on Thanksgiving. It's something you're very familiar with, obviously, with the postseason success you've had. But that's the goal, right? Every year, it is to get to Thanksgiving. You guys have accomplished that again here in 2022.
Yeah, it's my favorite practice of the year. You know, we went on a stretch there for a while. We did it like six Thanksgivings in a row, and there ain't nothing like it. Wake up early, have practice, and have breakfast as a team. With some parents helping, and it's just one of my favorite practices of the year. And some of these kids have never got to enjoy that, and some of them, you know, in 2020 we made it to state championship, they got to enjoy that then. And you know, a lot of people period that play football never get the chance to have Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving breakfast on Thanksgiving Day, and to make it there, it's quite an accomplishment for any team.
Well, David Penwin, a University Christian, congratulations on the win. What a game next week it appears it's going to be between you guys and Trinity Christian. Coach, best of luck moving forward.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys. Thanks for all you do.
David Penwin of University Christian. Gibby, what a win for them tonight.
Yeah, really good. And you know, I asked him, why do teams keep kicking it to Oral Gray? I mean, the guy is an electric. I mean, why would you do that? And there again. Tonight, First Academy does it, and like you said, he'll take it. Real quick question: he just said this. I'm interested in your thoughts. Thanksgiving next week, right?
Yes.
He said they eat breakfast on Thanksgiving. Do you eat breakfast on Thanksgiving?
Because every year
you do.
Oh yeah,
I skip
bowl of cereal.
No, I skip it, man, because I'm ready for the feed.
No, my mom does a casserole every Thanksgiving morning, and then we eat the real meal probably. 3 o'clock, 3:30. It's kind of a late lunch,
nice.
Early dinner type thing. Yeah, no question about it. What was the game of the night in the area? Baker County and Baldwin goes to Baker County. Kevin Mays of Baker County coming up right after this.
I know football.
Now, the Southeast Orthopedic Specialist Coaches Corner on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Let's go to Kevin Mays of Baker County. Coach, congratulations on a huge win tonight.
Thank you, guys. That was a big win. That one felt good.
Coach, you talk about back and forth, and then holding on in the fourth quarter the way you guys did, stopping them on that two-point conversion. My goodness, what an atmosphere. You get some revenge, obviously, from the regular season game. Take us through those final moments.
You know, like you said, it started out, they jumped on us 14-0. We came back, tied it up at halftime, and then it was back and forth. And, you know, we were able to go down and go up by 8. They come right back down the field and score on us. And then they get ready to go for 2, jumped off sides, which helped us a little bit. So they had to go 8 yards, and we were able to come up with a big play. Then onside kick, get the ball, and we were able just to run the clock out. I mean, it was a big win. That one felt good for us.
I imagine it did, Coach. Congratulations. When you guys were down 14-0, what were you telling the guys, and what made it turn for you?
You know, it was we got a formation where we come out and empty and put a different quarterback in Jabari Ruiz, who could throw the ball. And we just got out there, and their defense, the way they played their defense, they left some guys kind of uncovered, and we were able to take advantage of that. And, you know, we had a bunch of guys this game step up. It wasn't, you know, the Cam Smith show on offense and stuff. We were able to use a bunch of guys tonight, and really proud of the team.
Kevin Mays of Baker County. Coach, when I went down there for Hackers High School football tour, you know, you and I, your assistant coaches, your players, the Baldwin game was in conversation, obviously. I mean, that was a moment during the regular season for you guys that maybe the tide shifted a little bit after that game. What did losing that game in the regular season, whether you want to call it motivation, whatever the verbiage is, what did that do for your preparation, not only the rest of the season, but obviously for the game tonight?
Well, there was a bunch of talk this week, you know, that Baldwin's first time they had beat Baker County in a long time. And, you know, I told the boys, you know, if we can get them back in the playoffs, everyone will forget that. And it was that was a little bit of a motivating factor for our kids. They didn't want to be known as the team that, you know, and they did beat us, but they really enjoyed being able to get back to them, you know, in the playoffs tonight.
Coach, you guys had to go on the road to win this one. What was that atmosphere like? And, I mean, that's a huge win to do this on the road.
Yeah, it was. It was a good crowd. We had, you know, our people traveled well. They were very excited about their team. Cold, and, you know, it was a hard-fought game. We got a bunch of guys that are banged up. I'm sure they do, too. It was a real physical game, and, you know, it was obviously one team had to win. Like I said, I'm proud of the way our guys played tonight.
You've had two back-to-back physical tough ball games against Yulee, against Baldwin, two rematches from the regular season. It's going to be another rematch. Now, this game was called, I guess, in the second quarter back at the beginning of the year, but it appears it will be you and Bradford in the regional final next week. Obviously, the whole Jamie Rogers storyline going into that, playing his former team there in Baker County. What's your early thought on getting another shot at Bradford County?
I mean, obviously, we were going to play whoever they put in front of us, but, you know, our kids will look forward to that. That'll be an exciting environment to play in. And, you know, I heard you talking to the last coach. You know, we're just happy to be still practicing on Thanksgiving week. That's kind of the staple for high school football. And, you know, we're looking forward to it. This will be the third year in a row that we've done it. And it's we're looking forward to it. We're going to enjoy this one a little bit and then get back to work on. We'll be back to work this weekend, but the boys will be back. You know, we'll be back to work Monday.
Coach, you mentioned going back to work. What are some things you guys can work on? What are some things you can improve on going into the next round of the playoffs?
Yeah, just our crispness, I would say, with getting different packages and stuff on the field, and lining up right, some on defense, cutting back penalties, or some of those type of things. I mean, it's just the normal stuff that you work on week in and week out. But, you know, we were a little better tonight. Penalties have been a problem for us the last few games, and we did much better tonight, you know, playing as a team and doing the little things right tonight.
Kevin Mays of Baker County, they are winners tonight over Baldwin. They advance to the regional final next week, where they will take on Bradford County. Coach, congrats on a huge win tonight.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for everything.
Great win tonight for Baker County, and that had to feel good after losing to Baldwin. And kudos to Baldwin, a completely terrific year. They did win a district championship. They did beat Baker County for the first time in decades. But that had to be ultra sweet for Baker to get another opportunity and to end Baldwin's season tonight.
You know, I'm going to tell you something. Kevin Mays, really good coach.
Really good coach.
I mean, really good. Now, Baker County's had a great history of coaches. This guy might be special. I mean, what they've done since he's been there. Now, I don't know what the circumstances were and what the circumstances are with Vieira. You know what their record was this year?
0-10.
0-10.
Yeah.
The team he used to coach. I mean, they lose Kevin Mays, and all of a sudden he's winning really, really good and doing a really great job at Baker County. So, I mean, look, we're fortunate to have a lot of really good coaches in Jacksonville. I think Kevin Mays is a really good one.
Here's what the scoreboard looks like. Bartram Trail, a winner tonight, 42-15 over Creekside. University Christian, a winner tonight, 42-13 over First Academy. It was Lafayette, the Hornets, coming over to beat Hilliard, 31-13. We just talked to Kevin Mays of Baker County. They were winners over Baldwin, 31-29. The Bulldogs advanced 28-10 over Bishop Moore. That sets up a game with Reigns, who beat Riverside 18-0. Games that have still yet to go final. I can't imagine these games have very much longer. Bradford 37-0 over Gainesville Eastside. Last score we had in the fourth quarter, Trinity Christian 23-13 over Orlando Christian Prep. He is Andrew Gibson. I'm the hacker, Ryan Green. It is the Southeast Orthopedic Specialist Friday Night Lights postgame. We are presented by Duck Duck Plumbing and Septic Services. More to do, more victorious head coaches to come here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
The Southeast Orthopedic Specialist Friday Night Lights, brought to you by Duck Duck Rooter Plumbing and Septic Services on 1010XL.
With Andrew Gibson and Dylan Denmark, the hacker Ryan Green with you under the Friday Night Lights. What a year it has been. We started, the last Friday in August. We'll finish up tonight, but there are still a lot of teams playing. We will certainly keep you updated. I'm going to have the Hacker High School Spotlight continuing on Tuesdays for as long as these local teams are in the battle, and that certainly includes a team that you've heard all season right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. The Bowles Bulldogs get it done tonight over Bishop Moore. Matthew Toblin, the head coach of Bowles, joins us under the Friday Night Lights. Coach, congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Coach, we talked after Buchholz. We certainly talked last week. We're doing it again tonight. Man, you guys are just playing really, really well right now. And it's, you know, Bowles, there's a certain standard, obviously. And I think when people see how well you're playing, they know that you are getting red hot at the exact right time.
We hope so, and that's always the goal. You know, this is that is the tradition of Bowles. Like, the expectation is that we're going to have an opportunity to play in late November games. And, you know, obviously, you know, we had to go through some tribulations as we went throughout the year, but our kids continued to fight and come to practice and get better and enjoy the process. And I agree. Like, that was probably one of the best games we've played all year, and that's what you want to be able to say when you get into late November is, like, look, that's in each week, hopefully, you know, well, no, that's the best game we've played. And if you get to do that, you get to keep playing.
Coach, congratulations on the win tonight. You guys are definitely on a roll now. Does it feel like to you, tell me from your perspective as the head coach, because it looks like to me from afar that it seems like you guys gained something after that Gainesville-Buchholz win. Did anything change after that game?
Well, I just think, you know, we, from a maturity standpoint and an understanding of, hey, look, when we, this is what we need to do in order to win ball games, and that, you know, we are going to have to scrap and claw and fight. And, like, when we do that, we have the opportunity to be really good. And so when we are, you know, we are a talented team, but when talent plays scrappy, that's really a recipe for success. And that, I think, having to go in a game where, like, look, they're better than us. You know, Buchholz is amazing. They've got all these kids. They've got a, you know, Mississippi State commit at quarterback. I mean, and that to go in there and have to play scrappy and then have our kids carry that on to the next one and embrace that kind of that role. And I think that's been a huge, huge thing for us.
Matt Toblin of Bowles, winners tonight. And look, the bottom line is it played out how it played out. Jackson got eliminated. Bishop Kenny got eliminated. You guys all of a sudden have home field. And in high school football, particularly in the playoffs, particularly at a place like you have there on San Jose Boulevard, that is a huge advantage, knowing somebody is going to have to come into your house. Bishop Moore was unable to do it tonight. We'll get to Reigns in a moment. But clearly that home field advantage, Coach, really helping you right now.
No, and it does. And we have a great crowd support and a great fan base. And the opportunity, it's comfortable. You know, we have our routine. We know where our warm-up is going to be. We're gonna be able to do everything we want. And so, and then, you know, there is some comfortability to it. And this is a, you know, it's an awesome atmosphere. And so we are fortunate. And then obviously, like, I've already started to be educated on the Bulls-Reigns rivalry. I've never been a part of it. And that as soon as the game ended, that's the talk. And I think this will be the talk in the Reigns community. It'll be the talk in the Bulls community. And I think it's really neat that this game is happening, you know, Thanksgiving weekend, third round, opportunity to play in the Final Four. I think this new system of Metro, you know, versus Suburban has its flaws, but one of the really neat things is you get late playoff games with two local teams, and I think that's something special.
A couple more from Matt Toblin of Bowles. Like you said, when you were doing your thing in St. Johns County, Bowles and Reigns were playing unbelievable games in the regular season and then again in the postseason. Some went Bowles' way, some went Rain's way, and it's been a couple of years. Like you said, this will be your first dive into this rivalry as the head coach there at Bowles, but clearly a lot of history will be brought up this week as that game gets ready on Friday night.
No, it will be, and we've got some coaches that were a part of it, and we've got obviously a lot of alumni that lived it, and it's going to be neat on Thursday to have our practice here and invite our alumni back and all those guys that were part of those big Bowles ranked games and to hear, you know, their thoughts and get to relive their moments that is one of the big fortunate things that it is. It's a neat rivalry game, and I know they're looking forward to it. I know we're looking forward to it.
Coach, I want to ask you real quick about one of your young ascending players. Naeem Burrows is a guy that I've seen play a couple times. That kid's got special talent, it looks like to me.
He does. You know, he's a freshman, and that we are extremely blessed that we've got a good receiver core, and I think that, you know, they feed off of each other. You know, last week it was Caleb Lampkins who had a huge game, and that today, you know, Naeem had a huge game, and Chase Collier's had some great games, and Connor Cox, our tight end, has had some great games receiving, and that, you know, having those weapons out there to go along with the run game has been big. But yeah, Naeem, you know, just a freshman, you know, really is the sky the limit. And the thing about him is just how humble a person he is and how good a teammate he is. And he is, you know, it has been awesome to watch that group mature and go through this process. Cause that's what we tell them. Like, look, you're a ninth grader, but like, look, it's November. Like you're a sophomore now, but like, you're a football sophomore. And that, you know, getting the opportunity to play late in playoffs, like those kids, they grow up. And that, you know, this time last year, he was in like the middle school championship. And, you know, today he's catching vertical balls in the second round of the playoffs against Bishop Moore. So we're extremely proud of him.
Final moment here with Matt Toblin. Coach, as we wrap up, by my calculation, it's obviously at least your fourth. You might have had more, but I know you've been to three state title games. This is at least the fourth time you and your staff have led a team to a regional final in the FHSAA playoffs. What is the key to that? Because you did it at Ponte Vedra. You're now doing it at Bowles. I mean, it takes a mindset, right, as a staff to get these kids ready to win these win-or-go-home games.
You know, I think that, you know, the key is surround yourself with a great coaching staff that's committed to helping each kid become the best version of himself. And that, like, look, you don't focus on the end result goal. You focus on individual growth of each kid. And that to have – I've always been extremely blessed to have an unbelievable staff, and that, you know, it takes more than one person. I know I get most of the credit, but like there's 20 of us out there, and that making sure that each guy is dominating his job. Each member of the staff is dominating his job and is helping the kids under his watch get better. And that kind of feeds off of itself. The program grows off of each kid coming each day, trying to just continue to get better and get better and get better. And that, you know, I am the lucky recipient of just an unbelievable group of coaches and players. And I don't know that it's a specific mindset where you talk about going late in the playoffs. It's that commitment to growth. The, hey, you know, doesn't matter within a game, good play, bad play, like, okay, celebrate or fix it and then move on and get better. And I think week to week, year to year, play to play, day to day, like having a group of guys and a program that is committed to that, like it gives you a chance. And not everybody would be saying that about us, you know, early October when we were struggling, but our staff and our kids continue to work and continue to get better. And, you know, hopefully we have a shot to keep playing together and keep getting better.
Matt Toblin of Bowles, you'll hear it next week on 1010XL, Bowles and Reigns. The winner goes to the Final Four in that classification. Coach, congratulations on a huge win tonight.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
I mean, and look, Gibby, the bottom line is it's Bowles, it's Reigns, it's a spot in the Final Four on the line. You combine that with Trinity Christian, University Christian. You combine that with Bradford County, Baker County. You combine that with Gainesville, Buchholz, and Bartram Trail. All of these games are for the right to go to the Final Four in these various classifications. Next week will be fantastic.
What an incredible time of year. I mean, you have Thanksgiving on Thursday, which is incredible in and of itself. Then you have all these games Friday that we're talking about. I just love it. And to the point of Bowles, there are just some programs that it's in their DNA that they go on runs like this, because we know that Bowles, for so many years with Corky Rogers, they won just so many state championships there. The standards has been set at bowls. You know, look, going back, like Coach said, there are some people, you know, that may have thought about bowls during the season. Hey, it's not bowls' year. They've lost three games in a row in early September. Now you look up, it's late November, and bowls is doing what they're doing.
Once again, year 16 of the Friday Night Lights postgame. It would not be the Friday Night Lights postgame without the support of Southeast Orthopedic Specialist. That also means the good doctor, Kevin Murphy, who's been with us now for more years than I can even remember. Doc Murphy joins us one more time under the Friday Night Lights. Doc, how we doing?
Good, Hacker. How are you?
Doc, we're good. Thank you for the time here on our season finale. We kicked it off in late August, 13 shows later. We end year number 16 tonight. And I just want to tip my cap to you and your colleagues, not only the bump and bruise clinics that you guys put on during the regular season, but everything you do at Southeast Orthopedic Specialist to support high school athletics, to help these young men and women, not only in football, but across all the sports in these high schools and middle schools, for that matter. You guys do a terrific job, and you should definitely be commended for that.
Well, I appreciate it. We work hard to try and take care of these kids, and you know, we put ourselves out there to help and support as you guys do. And you know, I followed Coach Toblin. I got to say, I was listening to him as I was hanging on here. I've known Coach Toblin since I came to Jacksonville in like 96, 97, when he was at Nice. He coached my kid, my youngest son at Nice. And, you know, he went to Pontevedra. He's been around a long time. He's a great guy and a quality guy and a quality coach. And I've been a fan of his. He's a great guy. So it's good to hear him doing well, and I wish him well in the future.
Doc, always appreciate you joining us. I want to ask you real quick while we had you on the line about the Bills quarterback, Josh Allen, is playing with a UCL injury. And you know, a lot of times we see this in baseball, and sometimes that means Tommy John surgery. But with a quarterback playing with a UCL injury, tell us about the dynamic of that.
Yeah, you know, I questioned that, the diagnosis, truly. You know, they promoted it as that. When he injured his arm, I watched the play, and he grabbed the outside arm of his arm, the lateral aspect of it, which is kind of the outside part as opposed to the inside part, which the inside part is the ulnar collateral. The outside part is more tennis elbow kind of thing, a tendonitis thing, kind of the Ben Roethlisberger thing, that it's a tendon problem, but not necessarily you need surgery for it. It's really an unusual thing to have a quarterback and an ulnar collateral injury, because the stress on the ulnar collateral ligament is a little different than the quarterback throw as opposed to the pitcher throw. There's much more stress than the baseball pitcher throw. So, you know, if he had a true ulnar collateral injury, he wouldn't be playing in 2 weeks. So I think that was pumped up, and I don't think that's what it is. I think it's more of a flexor tendon or more of a extensor tendon injury, that it really isn't an ulnar collateral ligament injury at all.
The good Dr. Kevin Murphy, Southeast Orthopedic Specialist. All right, Doc, for people that have listened to this program this year, if they want to get in touch with you, if they want to get in touch with Southeast, if they have ailments to the shoulder, the knee, the ankle, you name it, Southeast will take care of you. What is the best way to get in touch with the good folks over there, Doc?
SEOrtho.com or 634-0640. You know, we'll get you in quick and we'll take care of you. We're all about the athletes. And, you know, we appreciate what you guys do. You really promote high school athletics, and you've done a great job. And we appreciate it.
Hey, Doc's the man. I always tell people as we sign off, when you send your wife to the good Dr. Kevin Murphy, that's how much I trust.
That's right.
This guy at Southeast Orthopedic Specialist. So he's helped my family out in the past, and we certainly appreciate that. Doc, you're the man. Year 16 in the books. Year 17 will be here before we know it, and we'll do it all over again under the Friday Night Lights.
Thanks, Hacker.
Dr. Kevin Murphy, the best in the business, Southeast Orthopedic Specialist. And again, thank you to them. They've been with this program, Gibby. This is year 16. I bet well over half of those have been brought to you by Southeast Orthopedic Specialist. So we certainly thank them for their continued support of this postgame show.
We really do. They're committed to it. They love it. We love them, and it's been a terrific partnership that continues on. And it's they do a great job, like you said. I mean, the bump and bruise clinics. I certainly didn't have that when I was playing football, and you know, I had an MCL injury at grade two, and I didn't have anything to go to the next day. So
I needed Doc when my bursa sac erupted my sophomore year at Wolfson. That's right.
That's right. That must have been painful.
It was very painful. Very, very painful. But, again, thank you to Southeast Orthopedic Specialist. Complete scoreboard update to come. We only got two more head coaches to talk to in our listening area. That's what happens when you have a producer like Dylan Denmark getting all the victorious head coaches on. We'll hopefully catch up with Jamie Rogers of Bradford County. We'll hopefully catch up with Verlin Dorminey of Trinity Christian. More to do. Glad you're with us under the Friday Night Lights here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
The Southeast Orthopedic Specialist Friday Night Lights, brought to you by Duck Duck Rooter Plumbing and Septic Services on 1010XL.
What a night. Round two, high school football playoffs here in Northeast Florida. Every game in our area has gone final. Jamie Rogers of Bradford County is 60 seconds away. Before we get there, Reigns, an 18-0 winner over Riverside tonight. That will set up a regional final matchup with Bowles next week. Bowles beats Bishop Moore tonight, 28-10. Bartram Trail, a 42-15 winner over Creekside. That sets up a rematch between Bartram Trail and Gainesville Buholtz in a regional final in the 4S classification next week. University Christian Gibby, 42-13 over First Academy. Trinity Christian, a winner tonight, 30-13 over Orlando Christian Prep. That sets up a rematch. Again, you see a theme here between Trinity and University next week in a regional final. And the Bradford County Tornadoes, they are winners tonight over Gainesville Eastside. They will take on Baker County next week in a regional final. And let's go to Bradford County to head coach Jamie Rogers of the Bradford County Tornadoes. Coach, congratulations.
Thank you, Hacker. Appreciate that.
Coach, year number one back for you in the state of Florida, and you are in a regional final, one win away from the Final Four. What a performance again by your kids tonight.
Oh, yeah, played extremely hard. Defense played really well early. They come out with some new things that we had not seen on film from them, and kind of had us going backwards for a little bit, but the kids adapted very quickly, got some pressure on the quarterback, caused a few turnovers, and got some things going on offense. So, good night to be a Tornado.
Coach, congratulations on the win. When a team presents something to you that you haven't seen before, like you just referenced, how do you handle that as a coach?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, they gave us the formation, gave us a couple of different looks that we had not seen, called a timeout, made sure we get the adjustments. Our staff, offensively and defensively, very, very good coaching staff. I'm very blessed to have those guys with me. And they made the adjustment, talked to the kids, told them exactly what to do. And from that point forward, we forced them to miss a field goal. And then that was really the only threat. So it was it was the assistant coaches and then the players being able to take care of it. So,
Jamie Rogers of Bradford County. Coach, I'm not going to blow smoke at you. I'm not going to say it's ever a good thing to lose a game, but did that game against Suwannee in the regular season finale maybe recenter your guys? Because in the last 2 weeks against two pretty good teams in Crescent City and Gainesville Eastside, it hasn't really been competitive, particularly in the second half. You guys are playing unbelievably well after that Suwannee game.
Recentered. I'm gonna use that. I'm gonna steal that from you.
There you go.
That's a really good way to put it, because that's kind of what happened. Yeah, we were the injury bug hit us about week 10 in Palatka. We had a few people get hurt that game, and then lost a couple more in game to Suwannee. But we don't make excuses. Talked to the kids after the game. Got them here on Monday at practice, and they were hungry. Credit goes to them. They looked at it the same way and said, hey, let's refocus. We still got a lot of goals ahead of us. So credit to them.
Coach, your defense all year long has been outstanding. You've pitched, what, 8 shutouts, maybe more than that at this point. What makes your defense at Bradford so good?
Well, we got playmakers at all three levels. Got good players. They play hard. They love one another. They believe in what we're doing. All those things added up. When you got good players that believe in what you're doing and they don't want to, that when they're playing for the guy beside them and not just themselves, you got a chance to be special. We started talking about that early on, how it's about how important it is to play for the guy beside you, play for the name on the front of the jersey, all those kind of things. And these kids have bought into that, and they play extremely hard. I don't know if you've got a chance to see them on film or anything, but they play extremely hard.
Jamie Rogers of Bradford County. Coach, final thought. I mean, of course it had to be this way, right? Your first year back, regional final for the right to go to the Final Four, and it's you against your former team, a team you took to a state championship there in Baker County. I mean, that's a Hollywood script, right?
Yeah, it's kind of odd the way it shook out. Not sure my family members at Thanksgiving this week. Not sure how that's going to go. So it should be fun though. It'll be a huge crowd Friday. That'll be fun for the kids to play in front of it, and that kind of atmosphere. And our atmosphere here is as good as it is with the way the people do in pregame, and it's really, really good place to watch a high school football game. There'll probably be a lot of people there, I would imagine.
Now, that's a rematch technically, although that game was called midway through the second quarter due to weather 2 months ago. Is there anything you take away from that game, or is it just kind of a turning of the page, completely different scenario now?
What I'll take away from it is our preparation that week was unbelievable, how focused our kids were. I'm going to remind them of that Monday when we get here for practice. Those things and how focused they were on the way over there, on the bus ride over, and then how focused they were in pregame and locked in, that's what I'll take from that. Plays on the game. And so, I mean, we're two different teams now. We do a lot of different things than we did back in week one on both sides of the ball, so do they. So that's what I'll take from it.
Coach, help me with this. I'm looking at a schedule that says this game will be at a neutral site. Where is this going to be played, this Baker game?
That's not accurate. It'll be here in Bradford.
All right, good. That's good for you guys. What is the home atmosphere like at Bradford?
Man, it's everybody shuts it down here. There's not a whole lot of parking at times, so people are walking in from all different directions. Tonight it was 4 or 5 deep around the fence, not one seat available. So they got fireworks and the Jumbotron and the music's loud. It's a really good atmosphere. I had nothing to do with that. I guess they were doing that before I got here. So it's a really good place to watch a football game.
Might be the best field turf in the area. They got a Jumbotron there. Bradford County is a heck of a place to watch football. And they get Baker County next week in a regional final. The winner advances to the Final Four there in the 2S classification. Jamie Rogers of Bradford County. Coach, congratulations. Best of luck next week.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate y'all having me on. Go Tornadoes.
Thank you, Jamie Rogers of Bradford County. Let's get one more in. The only reason why we're only getting one more in is because we've gotten every victorious head coach in the area in tonight. Verlin Dormany of Trinity Christian. They were winners tonight over Orlando Christian Prep. Coach Dormany joins us under the Friday Night Lights. Coach, congratulations.
Thanks, Hack. Thanks. It's helping.
Yeah, this team in the past had given you guys some problems, if memory serves, and they started out strong again tonight. You had to battle a little bit, which I imagine you probably like as a head coach, to see how your kids responded.
You know what? I don't know if we like it, but you do want to see them. You do want to see them respond well, and they did. Our defense played really, really good football tonight. We allowed one defensive touchdown tonight. The other one came on a kick return, and we held them inside the 10 probably on three different occasions, and they come away with no points. So, for us to do that with the athletes they have, I'm telling you, I was extremely happy. I'm trying to figure out how we got them, and UC got First Academy, but they're really, really good football team. So we were fortunate to win tonight, and they made a couple of mistakes in the ball game. They gave up a safety, and then they turned the ball over. And then I think we scored after they'd given up the safety because we got a short field and punched it in. So that really was the difference in the ball game, because at halftime we were losing 13-7.
Coach, congratulations on pulling this one out. You guys went 10-0 in the regular season. Then you had a bye week. Did you see tonight the same team that went 10-0 in the regular season, or was it ratcheted up a little bit tonight?
We're a little sloppy just because I just don't think we've ever played well coming out of a bye week. You know, I like playing week after week after week. You know, of course, you have to take a bye week sometime in the middle of the season, but you hate for your bye week to go right into the playoffs, and especially playing the team that we had to play tonight. They're just really good. Man, they got some playmakers.
Merlin Dormady of Trinity Christian, now 11-0 on the year. All right, we're talking about all the great games next week, and certainly right at the top of the list, it is a rematch. Whenever you have two schools that are 21-1, it's probably going to be a pretty good game. Trinity's 11-0, University Christian's 10-1. The reason University Christian has the one is because they lost by a touchdown to Trinity Christian. And, Coach, that game wasn't that long ago, so what do you take out of that game to use to prepare for the rematch next Friday night?
You know, you got to take that. One, it's your rival. Two, it's a huge matchup in the city. And, you know, you just got to take away that you can't bank on the fact that you've already beat them once. You got to bank on the fact that, hey, you know what? We're in for another big football game. We were fortunate to win last year. I think Webb made last time we played him, Webb broke like a 97-yard run in the second half, and that was the difference in the ball game. You know, if we don't do that, it could have went either way. So, you know, they're really good. They put together a great football team, and Oral Gray's a great athlete, and we just got to try to be able to contain him and play some good defense and maybe move the ball, and hopefully we can win.
Yeah, tell us about, from your perspective, watching Oral Gray. He's a guy that I've had a chance to see play a couple weeks ago, and tonight Coach Penlin told us they kicked it to him, and he ran it about 70 yards for a touchdown. That kid is a special player at UC.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you go back and watch film, he's probably had a special teams touchdown almost every game.
Yep.
You know, he had one against Kenny. He had one tonight. And the other games that they played in, I know that he's had several special teams touchdowns. So, I mean, you know, big thing is if you're going to kick it to him, you better make sure you get down and cover it. On offense, I mean, he's special now. He makes people miss. His jump cut in the hole is just – he's phenomenal. So, no, we just got to be able to tackle him. And then quarterback's pretty good. Goal number receiver number seven is really good. Defensively, they get after it. Zero on defense is really good. So, you know, we just got to – hopefully we're healthy enough. This is a tough ball game, man. I'm telling you, this is two physical football teams. So we got to heal up next week and have a good week of practice.
Coach, as we wrap up with you again, Verwin Dormady of Trinity, final thought, just from a high school overview perspective, Thanksgiving on Thursday, and then on Black Friday, it's Trinity University, you got Baker County, Bradford County, you got, Bartram Trail and Gainesville-Buchholz, and you have a game between Reigns and Bowles. I mean, good grief, what a Black Friday we're going to have in Northeast Florida in all these regional final matchups.
You'd have a hard time choosing on which game to go watch, wouldn't you?
There's no question.
If you're a spectator,
we need a red zone.
Really, really good football. That's some really good football going to be played in the city next week.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and right at the top of that list will be University Christian traveling to Trinity Christian, with the winner advancing to the Final Four in that classification. Verwin Dormady of Trinity. Coach, congratulations. Best of luck next Friday.
Hey, thanks, Hack. Thanks for having me on. Y'all have a great weekend.
Appreciate you, Coach. Rate those four games, and it's almost hard to do.
Wow.
But when you talk about Trinity and University, you talk about Baker and Bradford, you talk about Bartram and Buchholz, you talk about Reigns and Bowles. I mean, to me, you jumble them up, and it really doesn't matter which one you choose. But if you had to choose maybe the best one, which one would it be, your opinion?
I would say Trinity University, just because – I mean, like you said, what, 21-1 is the records if you combine both of them? You know, those two teams are playing at such a high level right now, as are the rest of them. Look, they are where they are in the playoffs for a reason. But I would just say the amount of talent combined on Trinity and UC's teams is ridiculous. I would almost put Bowles and Reigns maybe number two. You know, as far as competitiveness, I think that's going to be a really close game. Bartram Trail, we've seen them put numbers on – really good teams. Bartram Trail might come out here and, you know, put a number on Gainesville Buchholz, and we might look back and say, wow, you know, I don't think anybody's stopping this Bartram team. So I'd probably put them third, and then Baker County, Bradford. I think that's going to be a heck of a game too. You know, Jamie Rogers going back to his old school that he used to coach and took him to a Final Four. It's so hard to rate them, but it just tells you how good the matchups are.
There's not a bad game in the bunch, and you got history. You got Baker and Bradford with the Jamie Rogers storyline. You got Reigns and Bowles with, my goodness, the history between those two schools. Same thing with University Christian and Trinity Christian. So I love it. Quickly, let's bring in Dylan Denmark, who was on the Baldwin sidelines, a Baldwin alum. Denmark, I do want to compliment you on getting from Baldwin High School back here before we even went on the air. No, I'm not going to comment on
how fast you were going.
Oh, I came in on two wheels.
We have many people from the JSO that are listening right now, but just know that Denmark made it from Baldwin to the station on the south side in about 35 minutes. Take that for what it's worth. But, look, that sucks, man, from y'all's perspective. I felt for you guys. Certainly we're fans of Baker County and Kevin Mays as well, but I really like Rob Shields, and I know that was a tough one for you.
Yeah, it wasn't how it wanted to be for Baldwin's side. We jumped out 14-0, like Coach Mays said, and we just, Baldwin's side gave up too many big plays. I think Baker had three touchdowns that were about 50 yards apiece, and it's kind of hard to overcome whenever, you know, you're in a close ball game like that. And hats off to Baker. They threw so many different formations that we saw in film, but they didn't really run a lot in film, like Coach Mays said. So hats off to them. And, you know, big circle, bird's eye view. Had you told me and really the entire staff and anybody at Baldwin that Baldwin would be playing in the second round of the playoffs at home, we would have taken that all day. I mean, it does suck in the moment, you know, if game comes down to a two-point conversion, but all in all, eight seniors, nobody really expects much from you. We're playing a lot of freshmen. A lot of freshmen made big plays for both teams, and we just came up short tonight.
We've talked about the winners tonight. I want to spend some time coming up here in the next segment on the teams that seasons came to an end tonight, and then we'll preview what's going to be an unbelievable round number three here in the state high school football playoffs with you for about another 25 to 30 minutes or so. It is the Southeast Orthopedic Specialist Friday Night Lights postgame. We are presented by Duck Duck Plumbing and Septic Services right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
The Southeast Orthopedic Specialist Friday Night Lights, brought to you by Duck Duck Rooter Plumbing and Septic Services on 1010XL.
All right, Gibby, we've spent all the time tonight on the winners, and with good reason. To the victors go the spoils. Let's talk about the teams that seasons came to an end tonight. We'll begin with Riverside. Riverside fell to Reigns 18-0. But Riverside's season to me was made in the last 2 weeks before this. Getting into the postseason as an 8 seed and then pulling off the shocker last week against Jackson. It's unfortunate. The defense played well tonight. Their offenses couldn't get anything going. So it's obviously painful right now, but I think when Antoine Nicholas and his staff have a couple of days to think about it, and the kids as well, all in all, to get to the second round of the playoffs in year number one after OJ Small, pretty good accomplishment there by Riverside.
Yeah, really good accomplishment. And we talked about on the pregame tonight, you know, Antoine Nicholas, the job he was able to do this year and what they were able to overcome. He, you know, each time we've had him on, he's talked about, you know, they've had to overcome a lot of things. I mean, you look at what they did in the regular season. They lost like 5 games in a row in the middle of the season to really good teams, by the way. I think, let's see. Yeah, every team they lost to in that 5-game stretch made the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a really hard stretch. They lost to Mandarin, First Coast, Ed White, Reigns, and Trinity. Oh, and then, by the way, Andrew Jackson.
Jeez. Yeah, and most of that time, not to interrupt you guys, they didn't have a place to practice because they got that new turf field. For a lot of people that don't know.
Yeah, the new turf field looks really, really good there. And so there are a lot of positive things going on with Riverside, but their season does come to an end tonight as they fall to Reigns 18-0. As Denmark said in the last segment, Baldwin's season comes to an end tonight. They were district champions this year. They beat Baker County for the first time in forever this year. I guess it's a little bittersweet now knowing Baker got one over on them tonight to end their season. But nevertheless, a really good year for a Baldwin team that only has 8 seniors.
You know, I think there are certain moments of each of these teams that we've seen play their last football this season. You know, Baldwin had a historic win over Baker County this year in the regular season. Their season's done, so they can certainly look back on this season and think about that moment. Bishop Kenny's, their season's done. They can look back and they beat Bulls for the first time since, what was it, 1975 or something ridiculous like that. You know, just so many moments. Riverside upset Jackson. Their season's over, but they can, you know, look back and say, hey, you remember when we upset Jackson? They were the one seed. So, yeah, the season's over, but there are moments that you can look back in each one of these individual schools and think about some pretty good memories from 2022.
Creekside finishes 9-3, and Creekside's in a tough spot because they are a really, really, really good team. But if they want to get to where they want to get to, they're going to have to figure out how to beat Bartram Trail. And it's something they could not do this year in the regular season. They could not do it tonight. Neither game was particularly close. So as good as Creekside is, their goal this offseason, whatever motivation they need, they're going to have to figure out how to beat their St. John's County rival, because you get the feeling they're going to have to ultimately get over that Bartram Trail hurdle if they want to get to where they want to get to.
Yeah, it's you know, it's the thing about playing in a district like they play in, the District of Death we've talked about all season. Well, the king of that district is Bartram Trail. And, you know, if you want to go on and move past them in the playoffs, you got to beat them. And, look, nobody's beaten Bartram Trail this year. They're 12-0. So, but to your point, like you said, if Creekside wants to get to where they want to get to, which is winning a state championship, they're going to have to go through Bartram Trail, and somehow they're going to have to figure out how to beat them. The record has been heavily favored in Bartram's. What are they, 16-1?
I think it's either 15-1 or 16-1. Yeah,
all time against Creekside. So, look, Creekside up until recently has not been this good in football like Bartram has been. So maybe, you know, for Creekside with Coach McIntyre, things are turning in a better direction for their football program, and they've certainly got a brighter future than they've had in the past.
You know, quickly before we get into next week. Next week will end the regional portion of the playoffs. In the Final Four, that's when you see teams from Miami and Tampa and South, if you're up here in Jacksonville. So this whole Metro Suburban thing will kind of come to an end next week. It really takes effect in the first few rounds. And then, like we said, any Jacksonville team left after next week, that's when you'll see the Miami teams. But if you're Suburban, you'll see teams from South, but you won't have to go as far as Miami. The only negative that I've heard a lot, Gibby, and I'm not even sure it's that big of a negative, is all the rematches that we saw in round one and round two. Is it good to have that many rematches from the regular season? Because with this new format, particularly if you are in the upper tiers in Duval County or in obviously the St. John's County area, there's just not a lot of options. You're not going to be playing Tampa or Miami in round one. You're going to have to play teams that maybe you played in the regular season. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, I think it's I don't know if it's a problem, but it can be, because you know, you look at the teams that you play later in the postseason. If you get that far, like you said, you just run out of options. You're going to have to play these teams twice. I wouldn't think you're going to have to play them three times in this situation, but
I mean, take Baker County as a prime example. Played Yulee in the regular season, yep. Played him in the playoffs. Played Baldwin in the regular season, played him in the playoffs. Next week, it's Bradford in the regular season already, have to play him again in the playoffs. I don't know if that's good. I mean, obviously, there's familiarity there, but you'd like to see maybe some matchups that we did not see in the regular season.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the example you use about Baker County, one of the main reasons I feel like they went to this model is because they didn't want to see Baker County play Miami. They didn't want to see, you know, Baker County play a Miami school that has a, you know, four or five times the population of Baker County. So, look, there are going to be some scheduling quirks that they're going to have to work out with the FHSAA. Like, you know, very strong comments from Verlin Dormany. He doesn't really see the point to it, to be honest. You know, it's an odd thing. Anytime you have something new, there's going to be some pushback to it, but I would like to see maybe some more variety of teams playing each other, you know, teams playing Orlando or Miami, some of these teams that they used to play, but they're not playing anymore.
And quickly, I think we take for granted sometimes that people know. I assume if you're listening to a high school postgame show at 11:17 on a Friday night,
yeah,
you probably know. But for the ones that don't, there's four classifications now for Metro and four for Suburban. And what that means is the Metro is Jacksonville, Orlando, Tampa, Miami. It's the eight biggest counties in the state of Florida. The other 56 counties or whatever are suburban. So for our area, Duval County Schools cannot play St. John's County Schools in the playoffs. Duval County Schools cannot play Clay County or Nassau County in the playoffs. Duval County can only play Orlando, Tampa, Miami. Just like St. John's can't play Duval, but St. John's can play Clay. St. John's can play Nassau. So it's a quirky thing. And what Verlin Dormany doesn't like, and I tend to agree with him, if you're going to do Metro and Suburban, that's fine. But add an extra week, and again, they'd have to figure out scheduling, mm-hmm. and I get that. But shouldn't the Class 4 Metro champion play the Class 4 Suburban champion to find out who really is the best team in Class 4?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the way it should be. Because if you're the 4 Suburban and you're the Metro Suburban, or the four Metro, don't you want to know?
Yeah, absolutely.
If, hey, what if we played them? Would we? Because like he said to this to us in the pregame, who's the true state champion? I mean, you're going to raise a banner for both of them? That's what you're going to do now going forward.
It is. And look, I think at some point we might get there, but there would be some scheduling to work out. It would add an extra week. You would not know necessarily who's going to play. It would have to be at a neutral site. You would only have 7 days in advance to do it. So there are some logistical issues to work out, but I think that has to be done sooner rather than later, because I get the sense if you're the 4 Suburban champion this year, that's great, but you're going to see another Class 4 team celebrating a Metro championship, and you're going to wonder, can we beat that team? Should we be playing that game?
You know what it reminds me of? The old BCS. Remember
yeah.
when they used to share the national championship?
Right, like Nebraska and Michigan, right?
Like,
and
what is that? Come on. You can't do that.
That's a good point. Like, this is year number one of it. Obviously, it'll change and it'll come of age as we go along here. But we'll see. There's still a lot of area teams alive for state championships. In our listening area, Trinity Christian, University Christian, Baker County, Bradford, Bartram Trail, Reigns, Bowles, a lot of teams still alive for a state championship. We'll come back, one more segment to go on the year here on the Friday Night Lights, Southeast Orthopedic Specialist, Friday Night Lights. We'll take a look at round number 3, regional finals next Friday. We'll break down the 4 big games in our area. That's next as the Friday Night Lights rolls on here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Southeast Orthopedic Specialist Friday Night Lights, brought to you by Duck Duck Rooter Plumbing and Septic Services on 1010XL.
All right, final segment, the turn for home, not only for tonight, but for the rest of the year here on the Friday Night Lights postgame. We will obviously keep you updated on all the games on Hacker After Dark, on the Franzi Show, on all the shows here daily on 1010XL. And 92.5 FM. Gibby, let's go one by one. We'll begin next week with Bartram Trail, Gainesville, Buholtz. A rematch from a regular season game in which Bartram Trail won. Well, I got to tell you, the way Bartram's playing right now, at least in the northern part of the state, I don't know who can stay with them. They potentially could run into some issues down south with a team like Venice or Kissimmee Osceola or one of them. But what's your early thought on Bartram and Buholtz?
I wouldn't be surprised if Bartram Trail puts another 40-plus point effort out there. I mean, just go back and look at the points that Bartram Trail has scored this year. It's really pretty incredible what they've done offensively. Now, the game that they did play Buholtz back on October 21st, it was 21-6. So the Buholtz defense did a pretty decent job against Bartram Trail. Because if you look at, by comparison, after Bartram won that game 21-6 on October 21st, these are the point totals for Bartram after the Buholtz game. 55, 42, 50, and then 42 again tonight. So Buholtz has been the team that has pretty much held the Bartram offense in check with 21 points, even though Bartram did win the game back in the second week of October. So, you know, it's third week of October. So, you know, Buchholz has shown the propensity to be able to slow down the Bartram offense, but I see Bartram coming out and scoring more than 21 points in this game.
Buchholz has had a much tougher time of it, winning their two playoff games over Pace, 35-34, and tonight over Crestview, 54-33. But nevertheless, that is a 9-2 Gainesville Buchholz team with your quarterback is committed to Mississippi State and former Gator commitment, Creed Whittemore. So certainly Bartram will have to come to play in that ball game. Baker County will go to Bradford County, the winner to the Final Four. Unbelievable that in year number one back for Jamie Rogers at Bradford, he gets his old school Baker in the regional final, a Baker team that he helped take to a state championship game back in, 2017. And here we are in the regional final next week, Baker County at Bradford County.
You know, at the the first game of the year they played, and then that game was like canceled because of a storm?
Yeah, with the field conditions and water and whatnot. It was like 21-0 Bradford when it was called.
Yeah, so and I know you asked Coach Rogers what you can take away from that game. You know, it'd be interesting. I'd like to know how that game would have played out if, Bradford had gone on to – I don't know if they would dominate Baker County, but we won't know. Now we'll find out, right? I mean, we're going to find out how this game will be played for all four quarters.
University Christian goes to Trinity Christian next week. Again, these two teams combined are 21-1. Trinity is 11-0, University Christian 10-1. The only loss was because Trinity beat University 20-13 a couple of weeks ago. University wanted another opportunity at Trinity Christian. They have it. That should be a heck of a game next Friday.
Yeah, if we had to rank the games that, you know, like Coach Dormany said, which game would you go to? I would probably go to that one. Now, look, again, there's so many really good games that we're going to be able to have in our city next Friday night on Black Friday. But this is one I want to see. It's a rematch of the regular season in which Trinity won by a touchdown. And Trinity has, you know, pretty much thoroughly dominated most of the teams they've played this year. They did not dominate University Christian. It was a one-score game, and I cannot wait to see how Act 2 plays out.
And then finally, a game you'll hear on our air on 10:10 a.m. next week, Reigns at Bowles, the winner to the state Final Four there in the 2M classification. You think of the history of these teams, the games that these two teams have played over the years. Another chapter will be written next week in what should be a great regional final.
You know, I'm fascinated to see the matchup of the Bowles offense, who seems like they've found themselves in the last couple of weeks. We just talked about Gainesville Buchholz. Bowles beat them a couple weeks ago, and I feel like that win gave Bowles something. I don't know what it gave them. It feels like they've gotten an extra gear from that victory against Gainesville Buchholz, because to me, Bowles feels like they're playing on a different level ever since that game. And, you know, conversely with Reigns, their defense pitched a shutout tonight, 18-0 against a pretty good Riverside team. Riverside has had their limitations offensively. Their defense has been strong all year. But the Reigns defense against the Bowles offense is going to be a terrific matchup.
The goal for every high school football team is to make it to Thanksgiving. Every team that won tonight has made it to Thanksgiving, and it should be a great week next week. Before we get out of here, this wraps up year 16, our final broadcast here on the Southeast Orthopedic Specialist Friday Night Lights postgame. We have been presented by Duck Duck Plumbing and Septic Services. Gibby, I've enjoyed it, man.
Man, it's been great. We've done it. It's been so much fun just being able to promote these programs and these coaches and these kids, and it's always a blast. Every single week, I have so much fun doing it, and it's always a pleasure to work with you and Denmark. You guys do a terrific job.
Yeah, Denmark, good job by you as always. He has called hundreds, literally hundreds of coaches over the last 13 weeks. We've been averaging over 15 coaches a week. You multiply that out by 13. Denmark has done a terrific job year number one for him here on the Friday Night Lights post game. We will do it again in August when the 2023 high school football season begins. But again, we will keep you updated as the playoffs roll on Hacker After Dark, on the Frangie Show. We will certainly let you know what's going on as the regional finals get ready next Friday night. Gibby, have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too, man. And you never know. We might be able to broadcast if some of these teams, our local teams, go to the state championship. We'll see.
No question about it. That is Andrew Gibson. For Dylan Denmark, I'm the hacker, Ryan Green. Thank you again to Southeast Orthopedic Specialist and to Duck Duck Plumbing and Septic Services. We will talk to you in August when high school football returns under the Friday Night Lights. Good night, Jacksonville.